Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, Director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. We are currently studying Satan and demonology. We've already looked at the biblical portrait of that arch enemy and rebellious creature called Satan, the chief angel in heaven who rebelled against God because he became infatuated with his own self-importance. In his rebellion, he deviously convinced one-third of the angelic hosts in heaven to join him in this rebellion against the Most High God. They were stoutly and soundly defeated, and one-third of the angels became known as demons, fallen spirits who do the bidding of Satan. We've looked at their nature, their activity, and now quickly before we move on to demons and the occult, let's talk about their judgment. Their judgment, the judgment of the evil spirits or the demons corresponds exactly with the judgment of Satan. Both judgments of Satan and his demon forces is progressive, and like Satan's judgment, the judgment of demons will culminate with permanent consignment in the lake of fire at the end of this present age. Well, actually, the demons will be cast in the lake of fire, but Satan will be cast in the bottomless pit. And then, after the thousand-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan will be let loose for a little season, and he will be able to lead a rebellion against Messiah, King on earth, and Jesus will easily thwart that rebellion and then cast Satan himself into the lake of fire. But the demons, they are being judged. We said last time in closing that the judgment, as God's judgment, as with Satan, so it is with the demons, is a gradual, progressive judgment, culminating in their complete overthrow. Demons in the present age have been conquered and spoiled through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:15. They are subject to Jesus' divine authority. We see that throughout his ministry, to 3.5 year ministry on earth in Israel. The demons recognized the divine authority of Jesus. At one point they cried out, "What have we to do with you, O Son of God?" And Jesus commanded the evil spirits to be silent. They obeyed, because he is their creator. So the demons are very well familiar and know the true identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sadly, unlike many human beings who deliberately reject the true identity of Jesus as both God and Messiah, at least the demons know this and tremble at the thought, because it means for them ultimate judgment. James tells us that even the demons believe and also tremble. His point there in that epistle is, just because you say you believe in Jesus does not make you a saved child of God. Well, are you saying we have to do works? No, because the Bible says salvation is apart from our works. James was simply saying, as he was addressing it from a human, the way a human looks on a person professing faith, is that your good works follow your profession of faith, not as a condition of salvation, not as a condition of saving faith, but rather as a consequence, an outflow, an evidence that you're already saved. So just because somebody says, I believe in Jesus, and yet there has been no moral transformation in that life, no fruit of that salvation, which the Bible gives in several places, Galatians 5:22 and 23, no fruit of the Spirit, then that person's profession is naturally subject to being questioned, I think, biblically speaking. The Word is the judge, not man. Okay. The demons have been made subject to Christ. 1 Peter 3:22. These demons were spared not, but cast down into the darkness of hell, delivered into chains of darkness, reserved unto final judgment. 2 Peter 2:4. These demons, there was a select group of demons who were so bad during the flood, during the Noahic flood, that God took them and reserved them, we are told by the Apostle Peter, in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day. Jude 6 reaffirms that truth. The demons during the middle part of the tribulation will be cast into earth with Satan, Revelation 12, 9. And then finally, they, all the demonic spirits that have fostered a rebellion and sin in this earth against God, will finally be consigned and cast into the lake of fire, according to our Lord in Matthew 25, 41. Yes, there is coming a day in the world where righteousness and God's perfect government will reign. And in order for that righteousness to flow unopposed, unhindered, in order for that perfect reign to be established permanently, the elements of evil must be removed. Evil people and evil spirits, demon spirits, they must be removed from the earth. Because if given enough time, would they repent? No. They are settled and confirmed in their evil character. Now let's go on. I want to talk about the occult. Demons and the occult. Demons and the occult. This is really scary stuff, folks. The occult is all around us today in somewhat harmless and anemic forms to the more extreme harmful forms. But all degrees of the occult are not good. What do we mean, first of all, what do we mean by the occult? Well, according to William Watson in his book, A Concise Dictionary of Cults and Religions, the occult simply means secret, something or someone secret, hidden, concealed. It is a term that covers wide-ranging practices, including astrology, other forms of divination, spiritualism, magic, witchcraft, Satanism, and Hindu occult ancient wisdom groups, such as Rosicrucianism, Theosophy. He has here UFO cults, the New Age movement. All of them share the mutual desire to find hidden knowledge not readily made available to the average person. In the Jewish section, the occult would probably be the Kabbalah, the Kabbalists who follow the occult secret teachings of Kabbalah. That is certainly a disturbing movement in modern day Israel that is somewhat popular. I've dealt with people in that cult, that occult group, in witnessing to them. Sadly, today many American teenagers and young people are involved in the occult without knowing it. These role-playing games made popular by such games as Dungeons and Dragons, Warlock, Warcraft, I think that's one of them is called that, Dragon Quest, Powers and Perils, Rune Quest, and so forth. These are occult games. I remember growing up that Dungeons and Dragons was a very popular game. And I had friends who played that game, and it honestly created an obsession in these people's minds, an obsession to create a character that was stronger than the other characters using magical and witchcraft powers to defeat the other characters they were playing against. And people would really take this seriously. And whenever your character was killed, the person who was playing that character really took it seriously. It was quite disturbing. Today in the movies, you see the occult. It's commonplace. The Harry Potter series. This is a controversial series of movies based upon the novels by J.K. Rowling, I believe is her name. The Harry Potter series. Is that a cult? Should Christians be involved? There's a lot of debate about that. I personally would not get involved with Harry Potter because, again, they're using explicit witchcraft. They are advocating in this fantasy world concepts of the occult and concepts of both the occult and witchcraft principles drawn from these two magic arts, which the Bible, God's Word, clearly condemns. Why would a Christian want to be entertained by something that is a major tool and vehicle for Satan to deceive people and put them in bondage? So I definitely don't agree with Christians getting into Harry Potter. It's and of course Satan, when he appeals to young people with witchcraft, he's not going to show them the real ugly, seamy, and destructive side of it. He's going to try to package it up in a harmless, innocent, fun-loving way. And it's a deception, and we as Christians should resist it. But sadly, most people are utterly oblivious, unaware of the activity that goes on in the spirit realm. When we talk about the occult, we are talking about the art of a man's attempt to peel back the curtain from the spiritual realm, the spiritual dimension, and try to make contact with it outside, above, and ignoring God. And that's dangerous. Why? Because man, as a sinner, is separated from God by the fall. And so throughout the ages, since the dawn of time, since the fall, he has longed to contact this invisible spiritual realm. And so Satan, being the deceiver he is, and being one who dwells in the spiritual realm, the dimension beyond our physical, visible dimension, Satan has provided numerous ways, illegitimate ways, via the occult, that man can make contact and derive some type of power from the spiritual realm. And Satan does this through numerous avenues in the world of the occult, magical arts, spiritism, and so forth. Remember this, all occult practices go back to Satan and his demonic forces. The origin and source for all occult practices go back to Satan and his demonic forces. And no surprise that in these last days there has been an increased activity by demon spirits to counterfeit and resist the workings of the Holy Spirit. That's what the occult is. It is the counterfeit to the Spirit of God. And let me just say, there is power, although it isn't of an evil nature, there is real power in the occult. The problem with that is that one who is an occultist, or one who practices the occult, is deriving his or her power from demon spirits, and eventually in the end that will lead to their own damnation and destruction, because the spirits are using them as agents of deception and destruction, and in the end they will turn on them. Now, the Bible gives a list of occult practices, and they have their counterpart modern-day designations. First, we have the word magicians. Magicians. These are first mentioned in Genesis 41:8, Pharaoh's court. I believe it was during Joseph's dream. And Pharaoh's magicians, yes, Pharaoh, that's what it refers to. Pharaoh's physicians could not interpret the dream that Joseph could. What were these magicians? Well, they were normally people who charted horoscopes. They believed that astrology, basically. They believed that the stars in their certain alignments could influence events here on Earth. They were astrologers, and also ones who tried to divine the future. So they were psychics, basically, and magicians. So, I'm sorry, psychics and astrologers. These were the magicians in Pharaoh's court in Genesis 41:8. And one could say also the physicians in Pharaoh's court during the Exodus, when God spoke through Moses and commanded Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And these Pharaoh's magicians had power. They replicated the plagues that God wrought through the hand of Moses until a certain point, and they could no longer replicate it because the power of God is far greater than the power of the satanic occult. So that is what the first introduction to the occult given in the Bible. Another act of the occult is divination. Divination. Deuteronomy 18:10, Acts 16:16. These diviners or divination is one who has the ability to forecast the future with some accuracy. But anyway, divination is the occult practice of obtaining information about the future using material or physical aids. This would also be called fortune telling. A fortune teller is one who uses divination, and there are so many examples of divination. Let me just give you some really weird ones. Divination would include areomancy, that's reading ripples on water, arithmancy, dividing by numbers. Now, let me stop here. Today, we have what's the so-called Bible codes. A lot of this stuff is, I believe, a illegitimate practice of divination. In other words, you take a certain sequence of letters in the Hebrew Bible or the Greek New Testament, and you add them up to try to forecast future events. Usually that kind of thing is always, it's a rigged game from the start, because if you notice, they'll always say modern day events were foretold in the Bible through the pattern sequence of letters and their arithmetic value. And if you add them up, it says here 9/11. Notice they always do it after the event occurs. If it was truly prophetic, they would be able to do it before that event and give specific details about that coming event. But they always find the event after it's happened. So it's a rigged game. Other forms of divination, astrology, augury, cartomancy, card reading like tarot cards, that's occultic. On and on we could go. The Ouija board. This is, you can go get a Ouija board today at a toy store. It's really scary. But the Ouija board is a special board with letters and numbers. And you ask the board questions, and it tells you, it gives you answers. So I had a relative, believe it or not, who was basically doubting really the truth of the Christian faith and all that. And he went to a party one time, this is a true story, and they were fooling around with a Ouija board there. And they asked several questions of the Ouija board, and people got it with their hands, and you're supposed to stop at a certain point and then spell out a word to answer that question. And they were amazed because the Ouija board answered several questions accurately in an uncanny way. And so then they finally said, "Who are you?" And I kid you not, the Ouija board spelled out the devil. And my relative was so disturbed by that that he left there in haste. He wasn't going to stick around. And eventually he came back to believing in the Christ of the Bible. But that is a true story. So this stuff is not just, it's harmless fun. Don't kid yourself. Satan is behind this stuff so that he can deceive and destroy man. Another practice of the occult in scriptures, one who observed times. Now this is from the Hebrew in Deuteronomy 18:10, and it means one who divines the future by reading cloud formations. And this, you could also include astrology here, the position of the stars. Then there was what's called passing through the fire. One cleansed himself before the gods by sacrificing their children and allowing their infants to pass through the fire as a sacrifice to the god Molech. Now, you're saying, well, that doesn't happen today. Wrong. The same spirit that was behind killing those infants in the worship of Molech by passing them through the fire is the same spirit that's behind the atrocity of abortion today in this country. As I speak to you today, over 53 million unborn innocent children have been slaughtered in the womb. That is a spirit of the occult working, folks, trying to destroy future generations from serving God. And after the election, I'm going to talk about where this nation is headed. And part of God's telling this nation your time is up is because of their unrestrained practice of abortion, letting their children pass through the fires of Molech through abortion. That is an occult spirit at work, folks. That is the same spirit that was behind the Canaanites, and the Israelites did it for some time, passing their infant children through the fires, the same spirit causing people in this country and throughout the world to abort their unborn children. And they will be held accountable for that. There is the enchanter, Deuteronomy 18:10. That's one who whispers or mutters enchantments and magic spells. Witches and warlocks do this. You find this type of witchcraft or occult practice popular in Central South America, the Philippines, Indonesia, and here in America, New Orleans. New Orleans is a big-time witchcraft and occult place of where they practice this kind of stuff. You can go in New Orleans, the French Quarter, you can go to several occult stores and buy love potions and other types of stuff, and supposedly the witch will say the right enchantment over it, and then give it an occult blessing, and then you can go use it on somebody. It's evil. Then we have the witch, Deuteronomy 18:10, Galatians 5:20, one of the works of the flesh is witchcraft. Exodus 22:18, Leviticus 22:18. Witches, they practice magic, they utter spells and incantations and so forth. So the witchcraft and the witch are condemned in the Word of God. The most popular form of witchcraft today, well, first of all, what do we mean when we say witch? What do we mean by that? Well, a witch is one who practices witchcraft. And usually witchcraft is motivated by a lust for power, seeking secretive knowledge to control other people and forces. Most witches are solitary. Others band together in what's called a coven, made up of usually six men, six women, and a high priest or priestess. The most popular form of witchcraft today is a group called Wicca, W-I-C-C-A, which stands for Witches International Coven Council Association. They are trying to permeate and penetrate groups and organizations to grant them legitimate status as practicing witches and warlocks. I believe today in the Army, if I'm not wrong, there is a minister, Wicca has their ministers in the armed forces, so-called ministers. But witches and warlocks worship gods and goddesses, claiming that their power comes from them. And of course, they divide their the witches who say that they are beneficent and benign in what they do. They call themselves ones who practice white magic, as opposed to the dark side of witchcraft, black magic as practiced by Satan. Well, there's no difference between the two. That's a lie. It's all bad. Witchcraft is bad. There's no gray area, there's no white or black. It's all bad because, again, it substitutes the power of God and the Holy Spirit for the power of the supernatural and the unseen, minus God and the Holy Spirit, minus the regulatory correction of the Word of God. That's why this stuff is so evil. Um, Let's move on. Then we have what's called a consulter, one who consults familiar spirits. In actuality, they're really trafficking with demons, Deuteronomy 18 again. This would include soothsaying, Leviticus 20:27, Deuteronomy 18:11, 1 Chronicles 10:13, Isaiah 8:19 and 20, Isaiah 19:3, Isaiah 29:4. A consulter is one who has direct fellowship and communication with demons. People who claim that they can contact the dead and have the dead speak through them, that is a consulter, or one who is seeking to contact familiar spirits. What are familiar spirits? Well, they are demons who impersonate the person, the deceased. So if you go to one who performs a seance and you want to contact your dead grandmother, and your dead grandmother starts speaking through the channeler, the consulter, and tells you things that nobody else knows but you, you're going to think, well, it's my grandmother. Not realizing, of course, that the demon spirit already knows information about your deceased relative and is just simply giving that to the channeler, the consulter of familiar spirits. The Bible's very clear, we have no business consulting the dead. Now, I must say something here that's controversial, but the Roman Catholic Church is in grave error when they claim they can ask dead saints to pray for them. That is going beyond the pale. That is transgressing the boundaries God has given for His church in this world. We are not to contact the dead by prayer, by asking them to pray for us. That is not scriptural. Nowhere in the New Testament, and for that matter, nowhere in the Old Testament, do you find God telling His people, you need to try to communicate with the righteous dead and ask them to pray for you. When all along we need to go directly to God through His ordained way. Under the Old Covenant, they were to call on the God Yahweh, and they were to make sacrifice through the Levitical sacrificial system. In the New Testament, we are to go to God through the person and name of Jesus Christ. We're not to go to Mary or the saints, and that is necromancy, which is clearly condemned in Scripture. That brings us to Deuteronomy 18:11. Deuteronomy 18:11 forbids us from communicating with the dead at all. And it's, you know, when you bring this up before a Roman Catholic apologist, they'll try to use semantic subtlety and try to say, oh, well, we're really not communicating with the dead. We're simply asking them to pray for us like we would ask a fellow Christian here in our church. Hey, brother, can you pray for me? No, it's not the same. Because when you ask somebody to pray for you here, that person is alive in front of you. But when you seek to communicate with the dead, that is altogether different. It was the prayers for the dead, or praying and asking the dead saints to pray for you, was a tradition that crept in the church around the 5th to 6th century. It has no biblical warrant whatsoever. Deuteronomy 18:11. God here is telling Israel to avoid the wicked customs of witchcraft that the nations were practicing among them. And one of them was, one, he says that, God says here, there shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, we already talked about that, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. So when you're in Mass, my Roman Catholic brother or sister, and they start quoting the Litany of Saints, where they ask all the saints, they name them all out to pray for us, and they're all dead, that is in violation of the Word of God in Deuteronomy 18:11, and you need to avoid that. It's not scriptural. It's occultic. And Christians should have no business utilizing the principles of the occult in their worship. Then we have the wizard. A wizard, that's mentioned here in this long list of forbidden practices of the occult and witchcraft in Deuteronomy 18. A wizard is one, a male witch, another term for a male witch, warlock, wizard. This is one who prognosticates or attempts to foretell the future. And I'm way over time. We'll continue with this next time. Shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach Alekhem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.